So could you present yourself and talk about the situation in Guatemala?
My name is Steve Stewart. I'm a member of the Vancouver Mining Justice Alliance. Around Guatemala, you mean the situation of mining there? Yeah, I'll try and give the short version. After the civil war ended in Guatemala at the end of 96, basically the country's mining laws were rewritten to make it easier for transnational mining corporations to come into the country. And it coincided at a time when Canada was adopting an aggressive new international policy of opening doors for Canadian mining companies and pouring billions of dollars in Canadian pension fund investments into the mining companies. So it sort of was ripe for Canadian mining companies to move into the country. Currently, most of the mining companies operating in Guatemala are Canadian, and they've had a long history of conflict. The most controversial one in Guatemala is Goldcorp, which is here in Vancouver. It's the world's second largest gold mining corporation. And it's involved primarily in a mine in northern Guatemala called the Marlin Mine. Since the mine, even before the mine was opened in 2005, there's been a large-scale opposition to the mine. There was huge roadblock on the Pan American Highway for several months to try and stop large pieces of equipment for the mine to go through. Under pressure from the Canadian embassy, the Guatemalan government sent troops against the protesters, and several people were shot. One man was killed. Since the opening of the mines, Mayan communities have sort of resorted to their traditional methods of consultation, and more than 500,000 have voted against mining in their communities. But, of course, this is not being respected by the state. But conflict has been ongoing around the Marlin Mine. There's been a number of arrests, people injured. One woman that was opposed to the mine last year was shot in the eye. In 2011, the Inter-American Human Rights Commission made a ruling calling on the Guatemalan government to suspend the Goldcorp's mine operations until the full impact of such a thing on the communities could be properly assessed. Initially, the Guatemalan government said they would comply with the request, but after lobbying from the mining sector, they ended up not doing anything. Here last year at the Goldcorp annual general meeting, there was a shareholders resolution calling on Goldcorp to voluntarily comply with the Inter-American Human Rights Commission's ruling. It was, of course, voted down. And so conflict continues at that mine. Many members of the Goldcorp executive also sit on the executive of another Vancouver company, on the executive of a company called Tahoe Resources. It's basically a spin-off of Goldcorp. It's trying to open a mine in the southern part of Guatemala, in this sort of ecologically sensitive area, because it's the headwaters of the Rio Lenca, and so it's supposed to be jointly administered by the Guatemalan, Honduran, and Salvadoran governments. And the granting of the exploration permit by the Guatemalan government has created a sort of international incident there, in that the Salvadorans and the Hondurans are opposed to the development because this river provides water source for a large number of the population. In the case of El Salvador, it's something like 20% of the population. And so there's been diplomatic tension there. A number of Salvadoran opponents who have traveled to Guatemala to testify have been kidnapped. It's another case of a serious conflict. Then just down the road here, about two blocks from Goldcorp, we have a company called Radius Gold trying to open a mine just southeast of the Guatemalan city capital. Last month, an opponent to that mine was shot while leaving a roadblock that the community set up at the entrance of the mine. So there's sort of, in Guatemala and in a growing number of Latin American countries, Canadian or Canada has become synonymous with mining transnationals in conflict.